All right, my friends, we are live with Material Issues, episode number 16. Wow, David, 16 episodes in. How are you doing, my friend, one day before your birthday?
Sweet 16 and never been kissed. That's a problem. You know, this podcast doesn't exactly generate like hordes of women throwing themselves at us, Mark. We need to do something about that.
Well, the problem is you got one driving right now. She can't hear you because you got your
no,
earbuds.
She can hear me. She can't hear you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's fair. What are you doing tonight, my friend? You're going to a baseball game.
Yeah, that's why. That's why Rena's driving right now. We're heading up to Angel Stadium. And to see the Yankees play the Angels. I'm a huge Yankee fan. And yep. This was a birthday present that one of Rena's birthday presents to me to take us to the ball game. I haven't seen the Yankees play live. Well, I saw them a few years ago in Seattle, but I haven't actually been to this stadium for years. So it'll be nice to get there again. I'm hearing the GPS give directions. I don't know if you are.
Yeah, but, a little bit. That's all right. We don't want Rita to get lost. But that's a nice birthday gift. Because I know every time we finish up a broadcast, you are running off to watch the Yankees on television. So I'm glad you get to see them tonight, which is good.
Yeah, and also the Yankees broadcasts are blacked out around here anyway because they want you to watch the Angels broadcast. Right. So I couldn't even see that. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be great. And my birthday's tomorrow.
Very good. Early happy birthday.
Early happy birthday. Thank you. I'm not wearing my glasses right now. Do I usually wear them for the broadcast? I forgot.
No. You always look good without the glasses. Yeah. Okay. You look good.
Yeah, I'm nearsighted, so I'm different from a lot of people in that I actually take my glasses off to read and to see close up. I only use them for driving, watching TV, other things. Oh, thank you, whoever you are, for saying happy birthday. Just as Facebook user, so I have no idea. I'm sorry.
Well, it's hard to believe we are 16 episodes into this thing. We've had some unbelievably great guests on in the past. We've got quite a lineup coming up in the next 3 weeks as well. We'll talk about that a little bit towards the end of the show tonight. But I'd really like to get right into what's going on because this is a pretty big thrill for me. Way back in the early, I think it's probably early 2000s, a mutual friend, you know him, Luke Jackson out of Toronto, I think he was Canada. I was not that familiar with a lot of Scandinavian pop music. You knew of the ABBAs and the Cardigans and AHA and were they Scandinavian? I forget.
Yes, they are.
But but outside of that, you didn't hear too much from those countries. And I thought I knew a lot of music in my time in the business and the label and just being a lover and a fan. But then Luke sent me these Scandi Pop compilations and it blew my mind. And I believe I wrote a little note here. It was on the third compilation that he sent me that there were a couple tunes from this band called Popium. And it just blew me away. And I had to find everything I could find about Popium, which was not easy in this country at the time. It was, how do I get it from overseas? And this person we're going to bring on tonight is a main songwriter. I don't know, call a leader or whatnot, but primary focus in a number of bands, Popium being one of them, Pogo Pops being another, his solo work. You know, when you talk about, for me, really good singer-songwriters that are so prolific, that are so good at their craft, you scratch your head and you say, Why doesn't the whole world know about this? And it's kind of, I tell everybody I know, and I've raised my daughters on Popium when they were very young, they're 26 and 22 now. But bringing this guy on right now is an absolute thrill. So if you'll help me welcome all the way from Bergen, Norway, Mr. Frank Hammersland.
Yes.
And there he is.
All right. Hello, Frank.
Good evening, Frank. How are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling good. It's a bit late, but I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to
midnight,
this.
It's midnight, isn't it? It's midnight, right?
Yeah, it's I think it's 10 past midnight, yeah.
Well, you know, look at it this way. If you were playing a show, you'd only be in like your second part of your set right about now.
Yeah. It hasn't been that many shows lately, sadly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're just trying to keep you up and getting you back in training. Oh, look at there you go. My daughter just checked in.
Yes.
Favorite Blunders and Silver Lining. Thank you, Leah. Love you. She's down. She's down in Florida now. She just moved to Florida. So,
all right.
Love you, sweetie. But thanks so much for joining us tonight, Frank. Again, this is a thrill. It's hard for me to tell you how much your music has meant to me over the last, I don't know, 25 years. How long has it been since you started off with Pogo Pops?
Pogo Pops started in 1987.
87.
Yeah, and we released our first album, your first EP in the 1990, and then we changed our name to Pogo Pops and released our first Pogo Pops LP in 92.
Do you still have those great earrings from the videos? Is that what you're wearing?
Yeah, they're sort of grown attached to me, so I never take them off. I sleep with them. I do everything with these on. So I think I was in fifth grade when I pierced my ears.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
My mother wasn't happy.
But let's go back to the beginning, as David likes to say to a lot of our artists. Were you trained as a musician, or did much of this come by just learning it yourself?
Learning it myself, yeah. Discovering the Beatles when I was very young, and starting to play in bands around when I was 12 years old, I think.
Hey, Nigel.
Yeah. So so where did the songwriting bug actually hit you then? Because, yeah, as I said, it seems to come so naturally to you, and sometimes you talk about natural gifts.
It started quite early. One of my first bands was a cover band. We played everything from good old rock and roll, Stones and Creedence and Beatles, that kind of stuff. And I discovered that I could put something together. So we sometimes we snuck in my songs here and there. So I think I was about 16 when I discovered it. Yeah.
And you started putting things together.
Who were some of the big acts in Norway around that time, and were they an influence on you also?
The big acts in or from Norway.
From,
there wasn't any big, I think. I think the Norwegian music scene during the 80s was it wasn't that interesting, really. It was more interesting to listen to music from England and the US. So Elvis Costello became I became a big fan of his. During the 80s.
Well, I know. I know. You're looking at YouTube. Was Doomsville Boys?
Yeah.
Your first incarnation into a band, or did you do some things in high school before that? Just all cover stuff.
I did something in high school before that, and Doomsville Boys was because of I wanted to write my own music. That's why I formed that band. And the three of us are still playing together. So next year we have a 35 years jubilee.
Right. Yeah. Now that's Viggo Kruger.
Yeah.
And the drummer. Is that
Nikolai.
Okay. All right. I could never pronounce his name right.
Yeah. Viggo. Nikolai Hamra.
Hamra.
Yeah,
okay.
We call him Nick.
Well, yeah. You know, one thing that I have a lot of notes over here. So if you see me keep doing this, I have all these notes about things I want to refer to. But one thing when you talk about Viggo that makes me laugh is, you know, your look didn't change that much throughout your entire career. You personally, Vigo seems to roll from a mountain man to a 16-year-old kid to every time you see him in different videos, and you swear this video was 4 years after the previous video, but he looks somehow 10 years younger. I don't know how, I don't know what he does, but he cracks me up just his look. Yeah. But heck of a guitar player. Does he collaborate with you as far as music is concerned, or
yes, more and more.
More and more. Yeah.
Yeah. We never sit down together and to write things together in the same room, but we have sort of the understanding is that if he has written something, then he delivers to me, and then I have to make it my own. So okay. I can do all the changes I want and everything, because I have to sing it, so mm-hmm. I have right. to mean it.
Yeah. So Doomsville Boys, let's just talk about, that was your first recording. It was an EP of five tracks.
Six tracks.
Okay. Six tracks. I hadn't listened to that in a while, and it was back up on YouTube. So I had to reacquaint myself with it. And you had then a name change from Doomsville Boys to Pogo Pops. Tell me about that a little bit. Why the name change? And what is a pogo pop? I have no idea. I have no idea what that is.
We never liked the name Doomsville Boys. We just had to have a name because we were entering this talent competition, and we didn't have a name. So there was a song by the Rainmakers that I liked a lot called Doomsville.
Right.
So we just took that and added boys. In 92, when we were going to release our first LP, we became a quartet, and we changed the name. We tried to describe our music, and ended on pogo from the dance that came from the punk movement and pop, so energetic power pop. Try to explain the music.
Really. Right. Well, it works. I mean, it's a great pop name, but I didn't know whether it meant anything else besides the fact of pogoing and popping along, which is great. Now,
and the stuff is your songs. Well, in both bands, but in Pogo Pops, maybe especially, the songs are really catchy and very, very radio friendly. How much radio play did you get? Were any of your songs on the charts locally?
Yeah, locally in Norway, we had a lot of songs in the charts, especially during the 90s. And we were touring all the time. I think we had between 100 and 150 gigs per year the first years. So yeah. I can't quite remember how we did the second album, when I had time to write it. I can't remember that.
Right.
Well, did you tour outside of Norway or?
Yeah, we went to Japan as well. Three times, I think. Yeah, so it was quite busy.
What was that like?
It was strange, because it was so different from Scandinavia, and the language barrier was really, really something to cope with. So it was difficult as well.
Well, you had two tracks from the Doomsville Boys EP that you then turned into Pogo Pops on the first on the first album, one of which is a big favorite of mine, The Great Fall. And if you listen to the two versions, it's obviously a bit different. It's not the same version in the Pogo Pops first album. And what I love about it, I've always described it, at least to myself, as very Todd Rundgren like in the vocals, whenever you have that descending vocal pattern below the lead vocal, which to me just rings of Rundgren. I was like, that is just so good and so well put together and a really good song. And
thank you for the compliments. I love Todd Rundgren. So,
oh yeah.
Well, that's exactly what I hear that in a lot of your stuff, not that it's derivative of Rundgren whatsoever, but that you just it just gives me that feeling. It gives me that feeling.
Yeah, because I didn't discover him before. Much later. I didn't discover him before much later, really. So it's quite funny to say that. Yeah.
But it's just got to be something in your head and something that comes out, and it gives you that feeling, especially in that first song. But then in a lot of your more ballad type things, the chord changes and the way you layer the vocals over the top just harkens of that without being, you know, that just sounds like Rundgren. No, it's definitely you. I mean, I can tell your material.
Your song sounds very Scandinavian, and I mean that as the greatest of compliments, because I love Scandinavian pop. We've had so much of it at the festival, particularly in Liverpool, but even in the States, they've come over to play in Los Angeles, and New York. Yes, my wife just filled me in on that. It's hard to articulate exactly what it is, but you know it when you hear it.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's for me, it's a little bit of that wonderment on how well the command of the English language, and the fact that the way you roll lyrics together and the thoughts are, it is very Scandinavian, yet it's different. It's different to an edge where we listen to it from the U.S. whenever you're singing in English, but there's just a different flow to it. There's a different edge to the way you vocalize things, your pronunciations, which makes it ever so slightly different. And and of course, you know, as a big fan of power pop,
and that leads me into that question. That leads me into that question I was going to ask you. And this is the truth, but this is the case with almost all Scandinavian bands. But you sing most of your songs in English, and then in between the songs, when you talk to the audience, you speak in your native language, whether it be Norwegian or Swedish. Was that awkward for you at first, or is that just natural? And would you ever consider speaking in English in between songs?
No, it's just natural, because we learned English at school from a very young age, but it wouldn't feel natural if I was going to speak it between songs, but to sing it is just natural. It is, and of course the music you've been listening to over the years are mainly English speaking music. So
now, do you find it easier to write in English and sing in English than in your native language, as far as rhymes and the way the sentence would come out with music?
Yeah, I think it's easier because it's a different flow. The words have a different flow. It sort of rolls out of your mouth, and my dialect, the Bergen dialect, it does not. but it's quite fun, because I started writing in I got a band here in Bergen, or I joined a band called Evi Din for Alti. It translates to something like Forever Yours Always. Yeah, I think it's quite a stupid name, but still. And then I started writing in Norwegian, and it was really fun, because what's it, the name in English, it you can get arrested a lot more times for your lyrics when you write them in your native language.
Right. Well, which is great. I love the second album, Pogo Pops, Crash, which had a great video to it. Again, Viggo looking different. He looks like Andy Partridge from XTC in that video, which makes me laugh or whatnot. Now, was that song a hit for you in Norway, so to speak? And when you talk about success in Norway, you know, how big was success? How big is it to be big in Norway?
Well, the song was a great success. We still end our shows with that song, because it still has its own life.
Right.
And we won a Grammy for the record in 93.
So the Norwegian,
we beat the Norwegian Grammy. Wow. So we beat Aha. So that was quite good.
Wow. That's quite an accomplishment.
I didn't know that. That's pretty darn good, man.
That record and that song did, of course, a lot for us to go out on the road and do all these gigs because the audience were really responding to it. Yeah.
Right. And pretty much the same thing that you followed up. Was Jennifer Peach before that or after that?
I think Jennifer Peach was the first single.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Yeah, it's another great track off that album. Then you move on and things got a little bit, I don't even know how to describe it, with the album Pure. It changed a bit. And I'm not even sure how to describe the change. It was a little less light.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was a lot of tension and friction in the band, and we went to for the first time we went outside Bergen to record.
Okay.
We went to London, and we didn't have a tune. So it's not a record that I listened to, but it was it was maybe an important record for us because. Then we got back to the pop music on the fourth album,
right? Which was Surf, and that's My Mind Explodes. That great song, and also a video where I look at Vigo and say, "What the heck is he doing now?" And please tell him I'm saying this because I remember a few years ago, you the two of you did a live interview somewhere, and I actually popped on to make a comment, but. He seems like a very funny guy as far as his personality is concerned. But I swore he was like 14 years old in that video with this funky haircut. And I said, that song's got to be from before they even started. But now, great record. Again, Famous Pretender, On Top of the World. I could go on about that album for a while. But you seem to have taken more time to put that album together, so to speak.
That's
why
Rena made an amazing move on this highway. She went like five lanes to get to our exit.
You can change your underwear as soon as that's over. So okay, so after Surf, Frank, we had a couple different you had a little bit of a how many years between that and what Darling M was that next?
No. Released Where the Action Is.
Oh, Where the Action Is. Yeah, that's got Funny on the Inside. That's one of my favorite. Yeah, cool.
I think it was about 10 years, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now with the succeeding albums after Christ, did you have as much success as that first album with any track or
No, it's more low key.
Right. Okay.
And it's very okay for us because the stress is gone.
The stress is gone.
Yeah.
Well, at what point then did you get into what was described at the time as a super group with Papillon?
I think it was I released my first solo LP in 97,
which and, was young.
After a couple of years, I wanted to. I felt a bit alone, so I wanted to put together a new group, and they are my friends, so I asked them. So
I've talked with Martin before.
Yeah,
and of course, I mean, David has run into Krister, who played IPO with Flair.
Yeah,
at least once, man. Maybe twice. So
twice,
we've
known.
Yeah, we've known him for quite a number of years. When Papillon came along, of course, I told you that was my first experience with Frank Hammersland through those Scandinavian pop comps and Silver Lining, Favorite Blunders early on, and my daughters, like I said, instant fans. And over here, that's a pretty big deal. Whenever none of your friends are talking about a band called Papillon, and you're trying to, you know, extol the virtues of this great Norwegian band, and singing it and playing it for everybody, and they're all like, I have no who that, I don't know who that is, so I'm not going to pay attention. So so they're a bunch of friends of yours, and you just yeah. decided let's get together and do something, so to speak.
Yeah. So that's the story. And then and we did. I think I wrote and we released 4 albums in 5 years, I think.
Right. You came along pretty fast and furious with those albums.
It was a good an inspired time for me. Yeah.
And so, Frank, I've been wanting to ask you this question for a long time. So now that we're at Popium, first of all, what inspired you, since you use that word, to record a version of Deuce, which I would say is pure genius, because it's totally European and slow, and nobody in the world would know it's the same song until they started hearing the chorus, even. But what inspired you to do it that way, and did Paul and Gene ever hear it?
I can't take credit for the idea of doing it, but because there were sort of two camps in Popium, the old people, which included me, we like Slade and Sweet and that sort of a T-Rex, that sort of a glam rock, and the young ones, Chris and Martin, they are really fond of Kiss. So I remember we were in the studio doing Permanently High records, and the question just came up, and we started jamming, and suddenly we had a version we really liked. So it just went for it, and it's cool. It's cool and it's sexy. Yeah.
I love it. Well, speaking of Permanently High, beautiful thing. How did you actually appearing in a Korean television show with that song, and that actually was pretty darn popular. As far as what was that all about? I don't really know the history of.
I don't know. I have no idea myself. I just know that we were picked up by this Korean television a sitcom. Was it a sitcom?
Like a series of some sort.
Yeah, series. Yeah, and it was, I think it was broadcasted in the States.
Yeah,
there's a great Korean community or something. So I didn't know anything about it.
Wow. And that obviously made you at least a little bit popular in Korea. So it's amazing you didn't take on a Korean tour since you had already been to Japan, which I found that fascinating. I read that somewhere a few weeks ago, and I didn't know anything about the popularity in Korea, which is cool. But talk about popularity, album number 3, Camp.
Yeah.
Which
I wanted to ask about. Since you mentioned Camp, another song I wanted to ask about was Sooner or Later, because it is so soulful. And very different. Who's the one whose biggest influence is in the band is Soul?
This guy.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful song, and
thank you.
It's like very, very different.
Well, that's, and Mark did a really good job promoting it, and.
Well, that's kind of the story that I wanted to relay to you, because I don't think we've ever really talked at length about it.
No.
But the drummer in my very first band that ever played out, which was a lot of just punk and things like that and a little bit of originals, he turned into one of the top music supervisors in Hollywood. He's done all the Farrelly Brothers movies and things like that. And he had made mention to me that he's got this new movie he's working on, the music wise, with Fallon, Drew Barrymore film, and it's all about this relationship and things like that. And he was already pretty much packed on the soundtrack with some pretty big name artists.
If you look
at the total soundtrack, it's mostly very well known artists. And then you got Popium stuck in there. Why? I sent him Camp. And I said, now he's a musician, he's trained and but he knows what he's doing. He's a big Rundgren fan.
All right.
Going back to the whole Rundgren thing. So I said, you got to listen to this CD. You got to listen to this band. And he did. And he fell in love with not only Sooner or Later, but Suits My Soul and Matters of the Heart were also considered. They were considered, you know, so you had more than just one track, and it really came down to what they were going to do with how many artists, and Sooner or Later was chosen. And you know, that plays twice in the movie.
I know.
And it plays for the longest amount of time of any song in the movie, which...
It is a fantastic scene to be played when
knowing where we are.
David, I hear you mumbling.
I was just making sure Rena knew where we were, because I'm very bad at finding cars when we come out. Frank, this is the stadium.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive, very family-oriented stadium. It's a great place to take your kids. They've got places to swim and eat and everything, so it's nice.
Sooner or Later was just one of my favorite tracks. I was beyond thrilled that that Tom picked that for the movie. And I've sent him all your stuff ever since. So it's not like it's not like it was a one hit wonder. I'm still trying to get more Frank Hammerstein stuff in.
Thank you in
television and movies. I just do it because I want people to hear a great artist, you know, and that's what it's all about. And then your final Miniature Mile was the final Popium Popium album, right? Anchor Down. Great song, great video for that. I love the concept. Who came up with the idea of aging slowly through the whole video?
It was the director from Trondheim. I can't remember his name. So we just went to Trondheim for a day, and they had shot the day before the extras, and because I was playing a festival with Pogo Pops the day before.
Oh,
okay. So I was really hungover when we arrived at Trondheim. So it was a difficult video to make, but it looks fun. Yeah.
So you were doing Pogo Pops and Popium at the same time.
Because we had released a best of record with Popium. With Pogo Pops. Yeah. Same year that we released the last Popium album. And that was not wise. No.
Well, it's a cool video. I love how it just goes from old to young. You got some very attractive ladies in the video as well.
Yeah.
I think they're
going to have to check our phone and everything and wallet. So may lose you for a little bit.
Check back in with us later, Dave. That's all right. No problem.
No, I'm not going off.
I thought you were going off
the phone. No.
Well, let's. We covered Pogo Pops. We covered Popium. Make him take his clothes off.
That's right. They better.
Let's talk about some of your solo stuff too. It's amazing to me how well you wrote in a group setting with Pogo Pops, with Popium, but your solo stuff, again, just so lyrically well done, such good melodies. The first album was Younger, which contains a lot of great things. Like Souvenir, just a beautiful track. For me, it's just lyrically, just takes you away. What a great track. Great lyrics. Talk about the writing process of something like Souvenir. Where does that come from? As a writer, as an artist, it fascinates me.
What direction do we go?
What section?
I never decide on what I'm going to write. So it's just trying to what do you call it on the bike? The wheel and the
Yeah,
you put on the air in.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
What's it called?
I know what you mean. Yeah.
So they have to, you just have to open them in some sort of way and try to let it flow. So I never had have decided on a topic or anything that I'm going to write about. I just have to make something come out of me. Yeah.
Well, that album contains three tracks that blow me away: A Moon Like This, Younger, the title track, which is very nostalgic. You're kind of a nostalgic guy, that from what I can gather, especially in the music that you write. Which is great. I'm very big on nostalgia. Younger. Dave, I was just muting you. There's a lot of noise in the background.
Oh, you did that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little loud.
Is there too much noise?
Yeah. I'm going to keep you on mute while Frank talks.
You know what? Maybe I'll just bow out here.
All right.
Well, I'll show Frank a nice view of the stadium. You can mute me. I'll show the view and then I'll just bow out.
All right. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Have a good day tomorrow.
He wanted to be a part of it because he's a big fan of Pogo Pops and Popium, but he's going out for his birthday tonight, so we wanted to have him there. But I don't like the background noise when you're trying to answer because I'm listening to everything that you're doing. But again, you're a nostalgic kind of a songwriter. I love it. I love nostalgia. You really write from the heart in many ways. And again, that's why I say, how does a guy from Norway get such command of the English language that can write things that I can only think about sometimes? You know, it's like, God, I could have thought of that, but it's guys like you that put it down in lyrics and song that makes it so impressive.
I think it's called a talent.
Yeah, it is. It's an absolute talent. And there's there's certain people that have done that over the course of my listening life. I look at guys like Justin Curry out of Delamitri. His solo work very harkens to the same kind of thing that you do. It's just so well done. Such a talent. And I thank you for doing it. You know, I really do. You know, then it was 10 years until So Easily Distracted came along, right? Am I correct in that?
I think, yeah, it was 2007.
Which included a fantastic cover of Joni Mitchell's Night Ride Home.
Yeah.
I obviously, you're a Joni Mitchell fan at some point.
I'm a fan, I had to think about that one for maybe 10 years before I dared to do it. But I'm proud of the version, yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous, absolutely beautiful. And I knew the original, but the original never really, I don't know, it never really caught on to me. But then I heard your cover, and it made a whole world of difference. Really great with that. And Man Overboard was another track that pops out of that album. With your solo work, Younger, So Easily Distracted, and we'll get to the latest one, Atlantis, in a minute. Did you have any kind of airplay in Norway as Frank Hammersland solo?
Yeah, I think the last time I was listed, it's called A-listed if you get the highest in Norway at the national radio, NRK. That was a song from So Easily Distracted called Matters of Opinion.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the last time I got A-listed, but the radio still play my tunes, and they play the old stuff from Pogo Pops and Popium. Sure.
And that's why you continue to have a live career with Pogo Pops. Now you haven't played live with Popium in quite a long time, I'm assuming.
No, not since I think the last gigs we did, they were in London in 2006, I think. Six.
And there's not a whole lot of live video out there. I keep looking for somebody that filmed a whole concert for Popium. It would have been, it'd be kind of cool to see, but
I don't know if there were that many smartphones around. Yeah. On that time, I don't know.
And now, in between the 10 years.
Maybe, maybe people were just more polite then.
Yeah, it could be. Instead of just standing like this, they were actually paying attention to the artist and what you were doing. Yeah, it drives you nuts. But 10 years between those two albums and virtually over 10 years between the second album and your third solo album. Are you writing this whole time? I mean, are you?
Yes, yeah.
Do you have a backlog of maybe six more albums you could put out in the next couple of years?
How's the noise David. Now? Is the noise better now?
It's still you hear the ambient. Yeah.
Frank,
this is the stadium.
This is the stadium.
Yeah, great.
It's really beautiful. I love the waterfall back there.
You have good seats.
Yeah, we really do. This is the field over. Well, this is the whole field. But this is where most of the action happens. So we're pretty close.
Cool. Well, enjoy yourself, David.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Thank you so much. Thank you, David. For the happy birthday wishes. And actually, we'll be in touch. I own a lot of what you have, but I don't own it all. So I'm going to have to find a way to buy it.
Yeah, of course. We'll fix it.
Speak with you soon. Thanks.
See you, David. Thanks, happy Martin. Birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
So I'm saying backlog of solo material. I'm hoping there's more coming down the road. And I lost you a second.
There we go. Use what I use it, when I have, let's say, 10 reasonable good songs. Then I record them.
Right. Well, I mean that's something I look forward to in the future. But right now, your last album that you put out was Atlantis.
Yeah.
Yes. Again, another fantastic album. I made some notes here. Was there? What was there a single from Atlantis? Was it Atlantis or was it?
Atlantis was a single. Yeah.
That was the single.
Yeah, and there was a radio edit. The first song on the radio. Yeah.
Okay.
First song on the album on the radio. I think we released that one also as a single.
Okay. Now who?
We just had to add it because it lasted too long.
Now who backs you musically on your solo work? Is it just other friends of yours or anybody from previous band members, things like that?
It's other friends. It's a band that was formed during the early 2000s. It's called The Love Connection.
Ah.
So I use those, and they all they are situated in Oslo.
All right. Now the love connection.
I play bass in the band, and when I do solo work, I use them because I want to separate, Pogo Pops from solo work, and yeah.
So the Love Connection really wasn't a Frank Hammersland project. It was just a band because you sang some vocals on that album, correct?
Yeah, we started as a backing band for an artist called Tom Hell.
Well, another one of my favorite artists. Yeah. You want to talk about some of my favorite Norwegian or artists, Tom Hell.
So we did. We were his backing band on his first two EPs and his first two LPs.
Okay, all right. Yeah. That was going to be another.
Then he fired us, and then he joined the band. So he's in the band.
Okay, all right. Yeah. That's going to be. I was going to be kind of a follow-up question towards the end, we'll jump around a little bit, but Tom Hell. You've worked with Tom Hell on his solo stuff his material, which I find fascinating because I didn't know your connection with Tom, and he's another one of my favorite artists that just blows me away lyrically. Jumping back to Atlantis though, listening to the music there, a little more electronic sounding. Did you use more computer drums and such through that album than you normally do, or was that a conscious decision to be a little more electronic?
It was a conscious decision. Yes, there's not a lot of computer drums, but there is a lot of synthesizers and blink plonks.
That's the best way to describe it. Plink plonk. or something that you go, all right, there's something I didn't hear before.
Yeah,
which is cool. But I mean, yeah,
I'm really into electronic music, so I want to use that more in my own music. I don't use it in Pogo Pop's music, but in my solo work, it's going to be more.
Well, I know on your Spotify channel, which I'm just telling people right now to search you on Spotify. You list some tracks from other artists and things that you recommend, and you hear electronic yeah. Music. Is that concerned? Is that what are you listening to today that kind of makes you go, that's really good?
It's not that much new music. I'm really the last 10, 12 years, it's been more and more jazz music, really.
Right, okay. Wow.
And soul. So old artists like, of course, Miles Davis, Bill Evans, Donald Byrd, Bobby Hutcherson, etc. Chet Baker, of course. Mm-hmm. It's more jazz oriented in my house nowadays.
Right. Well,
I think it's a bit difficult to find new music.
It is, mm-hmm. and that's kind of why, I search out a lot of these older Scandinavian bands that yeah. and there's a lot of them that I never knew about. I mean, nobody. And then you discover this, you're like, where have I been? You know, why is there three or four albums out by this artist or this band? And I don't know these things. We just don't hear it over here.
I know.
There's no, and I'm actually thinking about starting another channel, which just promotes all, Scandinavian music, to speak. So people understand that there's some.
I think I should.
Yeah. I love it. I'm passionate about it. One question I wanted to ask you about Atlantis.
Yeah.
Where was that? On the song Atlantis.
Yeah.
Who's the female vocal?
Her name is Christina Santov.
Santov, okay.
Yeah. She had a band during the early 2000s called Ephemera.
Okay. Yes. I've heard.
Yeah. And I think they reunited the band now last year, I think, just in the middle of COVID. So, and they released a record. So it wasn't that lucky. We have worked together before. You were mentioning Beautiful Thing by Popium. Yes. So she's the girl in the video and she's singing.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now I know the connection. You don't hear a lot of female vocals on your tracks whatsoever, but it pops right out obviously in Atlantis. Hits you right out of the gates.
She's opening the tune. She is the first line. So, yeah,
very good. Yeah, another band that it says under Discogs as far as who you've worked with, Twinklehead.
Yeah.
Twinklehead, another one of my favorite bands. Love
that was Tom Hell's first band.
Tom Hell was in Twinklehead.
Yeah. So I think I produced one of the songs from the first album.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I remember Jade. I couldn't stop playing.
Yeah, that was the song I produced. Yeah,
one of my man, I love that track. See. It's all, and here's the funny thing. Before Luke Jackson turned me on to a lot of this stuff just through some compilation CDs, and I've ended up buying everybody's stuff, which is great. It's great promotion. Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't understand why all this music was really speaking to me for some reason. Mm-hmm. I'm adopted. I didn't know any of my history. I got DNA work done a couple of years ago. Turns out I'm 98% Danish on my father's side. So
that might be a reason. Yeah.
It's an absolute fit. I said, well, no wonder it's bouncing around my head and the way the words come out in a different flow must be something deep in my DNA.
Oh yes, I think so.
So what else you got going on right now, Frank? Now that we're coming out of this pandemic a little bit, depending on what the future brings, what is Frank Hammerslam working on?
I've been busy. I'm soon to be finished with a new solo album. I just have 4 tracks left to do the vocals on.
All right.
And soon to be finished with a new Pogo Pops album. Wow. We're going into the studio to do the last two songs in, I think it is in November. Okay. So they are soon to be finished. So I don't know when they are going to be released, but we'll see.
That's awesome. So you got 2 albums worth of things coming out, solo and Pogo Pops. Yeah. Everybody, you heard it here first. So keep your eyes out for more Pogo Pops and Frank Hammerstein. Now, when you say into the studio, that's in Bergen.
Yeah, we do it in Bergen. Okay. With Pogo Pops, we do it with Yngwie Sætre.
Yes.
We've worked with him as a producer since 1988.
Right.
No, okay. 88. 1988. So it's a long journey together with him.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. When people talk about not knowing that much coming out of Scandinavian countries, the fact of the matter is you've got great studios.
Oh, yeah.
And so many big-time artists, people don't know that they're over-recording in Sweden, in Norway, in great, and the production values are super, super good, super slick, right? You know, clean production, and it's just something, must be something in the water. You guys are overly talented when it comes to kind of everything, across the board, and it just, yeah, I'm grateful for it. I'm really grateful for it. You do such a wonderful job, my friend. I know I sound like a fanboy, but you know there's the classic bands that everybody loves in this genre type of thing, starting from the Beatles to Badfinger, Raspberries, all, you know, then Sweet and Slade and all the glam and things. But you know, when I hear a certain artist that I can't wait, as soon as I finish an album, I'm looking for when the next one comes down the line, because I need that fix. That's a Frank Hammerstein type of talent for me, really.
So really, next year you're going to have 2 records.
Yes.
Yes.
Two records to pick up next year, Pogo Pops and Frank Hammerstein. My friend, I know it's late in Norway. I don't want to keep you up much later. I just want to thank you so much for joining us here on Material Issues. It's been an absolute thrill, and one of these days I do need to pop over to that part of the world and make my rounds, because I have a lot of friends over there, from the ladies in the cocktail slippers to the yum yums and the dolmens, and you know, they're all people I need to see, and I'll make sure I swing by.
And you have to come to Bergen.
Everything I hear is how beautiful it is.
Yeah. We have a guest room, so just
all right. It's now archived on video. So if you turn me away, I'm going to have to play the video for the world. Thank you so much, Frank. I appreciate the invitation. If I get there, definitely taking you up on it, because it'd be wonderful. And please say hello to your lovely wife and thank her again for all her help. She was a sweetheart. Have a wonderful evening. Stay happy, stay healthy, grateful. We look forward to new Pogo Pops and Frank Hammerstein in the near future. Everybody, search on Spotify for Frank's music, Frank Hammerstein on Spotify. It's probably available in all the normal places too, via Amazon and iTunes and all that kind of thing. Yeah. Best wishes, my friend. Thank you again. Have a great evening.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, my friends. Thank you for joining us, Material Issues. That was Frank Hammerstein. I think you can probably tell how much of a thrill that was for me to spend time with an artist that I just love his work. And if you've never heard Frank Hammerstein or the Pogo Pops or Popium, make sure you get out. You go out to Spotify. Go out to iTunes. Go to Amazon. There's just tons of music on YouTube. Listen to it, buy the downloads, support an artist like this that is so good. Trust me, you're going to love it if you really love melodic pop rock singer, songwriter type things. Thank you, Lisa. Always good to see you tonight. So yeah, coming up on Material Issues, David Bash had to leave a little early. His lovely wife, Rena, is taking him to the Angels-Yankees game in Anaheim tonight. So his appearance was via cell phone, and we had to kind of watch what he was doing. There's a lot of background music. But he's enjoying baseball because he's a huge Yankees fan. And we wish David an early happy birthday. Coming up, Material Issues, 1 week from tonight, another Norwegian act. This time it's a bunch of people. It's the Cocktail Slippers. They're on Wicked Cool. That's my friend Little Steven's great record label. So next Wednesday, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which again will be late night for the ladies from the Cocktail Slippers, but Stina will definitely be here. I'm not sure how many are joining us. Hopefully Hope will be here. Whoever, it's going to be fantastic. So you'll get the all-girl band, the Cocktail Slippers joining us. I cannot wait for that. They're good friends of mine. That'll be interesting. The week after that, on the 15th, part two of Bruce Brodeen interview. We interviewed Bruce in an earlier episode, and you know Bruce, he's got a lot of things in his history and in his current life going on that we didn't even cover half of it. So we decided to do a part two coming up. That's going to be on the 15th. And you're welcome, Kurt. Thanks for always checking in, my friend. And then after that, on the 22nd, you've got Nelson Bragg. And if you're a Power Pop fan, boy, there's another guy who's got quite the resume on him. So on the 22nd, Nelson Bragg, a lot of things coming up, and that's going to take us close to October, and we're busy booking a lot of great artists and bands and such to come and join us here on Material Issues. So I hope that you subscribe to the YouTube channel at materialissues.com. I hope you come here to the Facebook Live group and you join the group. What that does is it'll give you notifications on who's coming up in the near future. But thanks again for tuning in. David and I absolutely appreciate you spending time with us. We're having a blast doing Material Issues. We hope you're enjoying it as well. So until then, we'll see you next week on the 8th with the Cocktail Slippers. Have a great night, everybody. Cheers.